Welcome to Hashtag Love Yourself. I'm your host, Jessie Jobson, and I'm going to guide you on your personal journey towards self-love. Hi, my beautiful souls. Welcome back to Hashtag Love Yourself. On today's episode, we're going to talk about valuing yourself. We're going to talk about what that looks like. We're going to talk about some things to notice to see if you are not valuing yourself, and the difference between valuing yourself and other people's value of you. All right. So what is valuing yourself? Because it's easy for just kind of like when you say you need to love yourself, when you're like, I do love myself, right? Or I do value myself. It's easy to have the beliefs, right? Of like, that we know what that concept is, that we live and breathe it, that we're doing it. But when it really comes down to it, if there's some places in our life where we have a lot of turmoil or we have a lot of dysfunction, we have to really look at these key components to our health, right? And valuing yourself is a really big one. And it's one that actually is often misunderstood. And most people they think that they're valuing themselves when they're really truly not. So let's talk about it. So I always like to define things in the very beginning. So if we look up what the word value means, it's the regard that something or someone is held to deserve. The importance, worth, or usefulness of something or someone, right? And so when you're placing value upon yourself, right, you're placing an importance, right, or a worth, a worthiness, right? And the thing about value or valuing yourself can be really tricky because value is relative, okay? And value changes depending on who is placing it, right? And so just kind of like we know, like that old time story, I don't know, they change the thing that they're valuing in the little story every single time. But essentially the little story goes something like this. A child is given a car from their father, and their father gave them the car, and it was like this antique car. And the father said, okay, now go out and, you know, go ask this mechanic how much it's worth. And so the child takes the car to the mechanic, and the mechanic says, oh man, this car is worth hardly anything. I'll give you a few $100 for it if you want to get rid of it, right? There's so many problems with it, and it's not worth anything, and you know, nobody's going to want to buy it. And then the kid takes it home and tells the father, and then the father says, now I want you to go take it to show this auction show and talk to the valuers there. I want you to, you know, go get the value from those people. And so then the person goes and they say, oh, wow, this is a really unique car and it has some really unique stuff, even though the engine's not working. This is worth a good chunk of change. And, you know, let me give you $60,000 for this car because it's such a unique antique car and da 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 da. So then they don't sell it, but then they go back and tell their dad what the person wanted for the car. And then the dad sends it to one more place and it ends up being worth like $200,000 because it's like such a, you know, big time deal. Like this car is like a really, really like hot commodity that everybody really truly wants. And then the dad says, do you see now every person that you're going to go to is going to value the things at a different price. And so you have to know its worth yourself. You have to know its value yourself. You have to know, right? Because if not, then if you listen to people that don't value that, like the mechanic, if you were to have taken it there and like sold it, then you would only have a few $100s. And that's not what I gave you this car for or whatever, you know, like there's like that big story. So that story stuck with me and I've thought about that story over and over again. And I've, you know, through my healing journey, I've thought about that story about how everybody else is going to value you at different places. And really their value is going to come from their own health and their place of value for themselves too, right? Because I think that when I look into the world and I see healthy people value things, they can value them at different rates, right? And we can appreciate and honor and respect people because you honor and respect yourself, right? But not everybody is going to place a high value on you. So the whole like premise of that story is to remind people that it's not the outside world that you're looking for your value from, right? This is an inside job. This is stuff that comes from within. And when you value yourself based off of the reactions of the world or the reactions of people around you, you're gonna get mixed signals, right? And sometimes, like I know for me, when I was a dysfunctional and unhealthy and I looked outside of myself, right? And I put my value and my worth in the hands of other people, like the people that I loved the most, the people that were closest to me. When I would place that stuff in their hands, and I would wait for them to reflect back to me how they felt about me. It's like a roller coaster. And, you know, sometimes they'd feel really great about me if I was doing the things that they wanted. If I did anything that, you know, didn't lift them up or suit them, it was like I was worth nothing, right? Once they couldn't take from me, I was worth nothing to them. And so this is the thing that you have to remember, is that there's going to be people and places in the world and circumstances that are going to try very, very hard to diminish your value and your worth. But if it's really true worth and value of yourself, any outside circumstances or people and opinions are not going to be able to shake it. It's only when your value, when you're handing that out, and you're handing your worth out to other people, and you're saying, now you determine what the value is, right? That's when you're going to have that roller coaster, usually. There's going to be people that come along, and they're going to value you, right? Not everybody's going to not value you, but that shouldn't be your foundation for your value for yourself. Your value for yourself needs to come from inside, and it needs to be something that you believe, right, about yourself and your worth. So let's talk about that a little bit. So the four signs and the four like pieces, I guess you could say, that go into valuing yourself. First off, acknowledging your inherent worth, right? Remembering that your value isn't based off of achievements or your looks or approval from others, right? Like we talked about, placing it in other people's hands. That's not how worth actually works. And when you do that, because I've done that before, I lived my life that way before when I was unhealthy, that's a sure way to feel bad about yourself and to devalue yourself. That's not valuing yourself when you're placing your value in other people's hands, okay? And I understand, like, especially like coming from like having a family and being married, right? The people that are closest to you are really, really important. Their opinions of you are really, really important, right? And the reason why I think that we do that as humans is because that connection and that intimacy with others is so natural. It's so natural, but it's also like what drives us as humans to be connected to one another. And so it's easy to get slippery and to fall into that pit of loving people so much that you place your worth and your value in their hands and in their eyes. But if you do that, that's making them the driver of your life, right? And it's not healthy. And it's like it's a backseat driver trying to tell you where to go and what to do. And it's not healthy, and it's not okay, and it's not loving yourself. So your value is not a place or isn't based on your achievements, the things that you do in this life, what you look like, and your approval from others. It's just those are not where it's going to come from. What it's going to come from is who you are, and you were born who you are. And I know that we come into this life and like we evolve and we change and we grow, right? And who we are changes over and over and over again. That's not the kind of who you are that I'm talking about. I'm talking about the who you are deep inside that is your soul essence. And you have dignity and you have worth. And that doesn't change based off of the things that you experience in this lifetime, okay? And I have this phrase about importance of like who we are as individuals. It's something that I say to my kids every morning when they wake up. When I'm getting them up in the mornings, I say this to them. I say, thank you for coming to Earth. We needed, and then I say their name. Like, we needed a Jonathan in this world. We needed a JJ in this world. And I'm so thankful that you're here. And what I'm getting at when I say that to them every single morning is I'm trying to remind my children that no matter what they choose to do in this life, right? No matter how they choose to act on their emotions, or no matter what job they pick when they grow up, or what job they don't pick, you know, like all the things, like no matter how we choose to act in this world, I'm thankful that they're here and that they're like, we needed them specifically. Like, this world needed them, right? Needed their soul, needed who they are individually. And I think that's part of like this whole recipe of valuing yourself is like knowing that piece of you inside, right? That has nothing to do with, like I said, like what you do here and what you create, but really just who you are. And knowing that the fact that you're here and that this entire planet wouldn't be the same without you, right? And that you came to be the unique you is like so important in the valuing yourself. I think about like all the times where, you know, it's different, like when you try to change your personality to accommodate your growth, right? But when people don't value themselves and they try to be something else, right? Or they try to project to the world as if they're, you know, one thing so that, you know, because they tend to favor that in their mind for whatever reason. So they want other people to favor them instead of just being themselves, right? Because you are who you are naturally. And yes, we are a product of our environments, but I think you can get to this place as an adult. And if you're listening to my podcast, I really feel like that's who's listening, right? Of the people that are at this place. It's like you get to this place in adulthood and you recognize to yourself, I am more than all these habits or these reactions or these, you know, negative self-talk that I've had my entire life. I am more. There's more to me than just the way that I act in life. There's like a deep part of me, which I can, like, I can give that and contribute that to my soul, right? There's a big part of me that drives a lot of who I am. That's like my strong will. It's my deep-seated passions for things. And yeah, those are, your passions are going to be heightened by your experiences in life. But I think a lot of that comes from our, like what we want to call our heart, right? Which is underlining, it's just who we are in our soul essence. And so remember, there's nobody else in the world that can do what you do, right? That can think, that can create the way that you do. You're so important in our world just the way you are naturally. Just you, right? And like the way you talk, the way you move, the way all the things. That is what your soul promised to be when you were picked to come to Earth. And no one else does it like you. And so having that belief and that knowledge of like, there's no one like me in this entire world. And you are amazing. You were the one that this world needed to be the you on this planet. Like, we needed you. And that's exactly what I tell my kids. We needed them because we do. We need all of us, right? So acknowledging that inherent worth in yourself is step one, right? And that's kind of like our belief. Like, we have to align our beliefs truly in our minds and our conscious minds, but then also the next work will come in our subconscious, you know, and like our habits and things like that. And then next, so our habits, talking about those, we are going to, number two, we're going to set healthy boundaries. So people who value themselves, they're going to say no for things that are not good for them, right? That they don't feel good with, that disturb their peace, that are not okay. You're the gatekeeper. Like I've talked about in other episodes, you are the one that your boundaries really like keep you either feeling comfortable and safe, or if you don't have them and they're too laxed and they're in the wrong places, it makes you feel victimized and exposed and mistreated. So your boundaries, when you value yourself, are going to be in the right places where you are feeling good about life. You're feeling good about you. You're feeling good about your connections, because this is the thing. In the end, people can do shitty things to you, right? People can do horrible stuff. But it can only go so far when we have healthy boundaries and we say, yep, I'm not going to participate in that. I'm not going down that rabbit hole with you. I'm no longer going to get in that car with you, you know, like, and that's what I always think about relationships as, right? You have two people and you're deciding to get in a car together. And sometimes you're like, oh, nope, I've been on this ride and this drive for long enough, and I'm not interested, right? So don't get in the car. Don't go get on the carousel with them. Don't get in the ring with them. Put up your boundaries, because it's your job to set those so that you have relationships that feel good and feel healthy and you feel comfortable in your life, right? Another part of like the setting healthy boundaries is like not to let people consistently drain your energy or disrespect you. So again, you know, we talk about that gatekeeper. You're the gatekeeper of your life. And when you have healthy boundaries, you don't find yourself in connections where you feel emotionally or mentally or physically drained, you know, for other people and things that really, a lot of the times I remember when I was unhealthy, it wasn't even things that like mattered to me. Like my heart and my mind wasn't really in it. It was like, I was doing it because the manipulative people around me were requiring that to be in the cars with them. That's the thing, is like the people that really truly love you and that you're going to have healthy boundaries with, or you're like, oh, that's not for me. I don't like doing that. Like, I don't feel good when I do those things. I know myself. I don't want to get in the car and go down that, you know, road with you. That's not what's healthy for me. Next is investing in yourself. And this is something that I feel like a lot of people don't tend to do, right? They don't invest in themselves. And I remember when I was unhealthy, I didn't prioritize my health, my learning, or my passions. I remember I was so passionate about so many different things that now are like the front headliners in my life of like where I spend my time and my energy. They're the things that light me up the most. And when I was unhealthy, I always put them on the side. And if I got to them, great. If not, everybody else came before me and prioritized myself last, right? And that wasn't honoring myself. That wasn't respecting myself, right? Being in relationships where I felt like I was always the last picked, that I was always, and then if anything went wrong, it was that I could be thrown away in a second, right? Like that I didn't mean that much to them, that I didn't mean enough to stick up for me in a, you know, unhealthy conversation with someone else. I didn't mean enough to try to see what was going on when someone would lie and slander me, right? And so that's the thing, is when I was unhealthy, those priorities, right, were way out of whack. And it was everybody else, because I valued everyone above myself and I wasn't valuing me. So that's another way that you can look to see in your life. Are you valuing yourself? Well, who has priority over you in your life? In what areas, right? And sometimes there's going to be places where, like, you know, especially if you have young kids, right? You have to do that as a parent, right? But not all the time. And I'll tell you now that I'm a single mom with two children, there is very, very few places where my kids have to come first, right? Like, I always put on the mask when the plane's going down on me before I put it on my kids. Like, that's like the analogy that we use, is like, I don't value them more than I value myself, because I know that if I'm not healthy and happy and feeling vibrant and feeling like life is great, like, how can I teach them that their life is great? Or how can I make a life for them that is great while they're in my care? I can't. It's not possible. Like, it's not realistic. So small daily choices like rest, movement, and creative outlets are going to reinforce your self-value, okay? And so I'm going to give you like a little personal story. This summer, right, I decided to take the summer predominantly off. Okay. So I did, obviously I run my own business and I can't take the whole entire summer off because I, you know, things still got to happen. My coaching side of my business still occurred, but primarily I looked at my little family and I looked at my children, and my kids are 7 and 9. They're in like the perfect ages where I'm still cool, right? They think the world of me. And I thought to myself, I only get like 16 or 17 summers with them if I'm lucky, right? While they're in my care. And I don't want to waste that. And so I took everything that I could off my plate, everything that wouldn't like, you know, run my business into the ground. And I spent time resting and rejuvenating and having fun and going on vacation with my kids. And I will never forget it. It was one of the best summers I've ever had in my entire life. And that's the kind of stuff that people do when they're prioritizing and investing in themselves, right? That's the kind of stuff that people are doing. And so remember, you know, to look into the things that are in your heart and the places that, you know, like if you want to be spending more time with your family, if you want to be spending more time on that hobby that you know is like one of your biggest passions, it is your job to invest your time. Your time is your precious asset that you get to choose. And it first takes that belief to know like, okay, like there is always a way. If there's a will, there's a way. And I'm going to figure out how to do that, right? But a lot of people, we get stuck, especially in our dysfunctional world. That's the biggest part of loving yourself, is recognizing that the world is not going to make it easy for you to love yourself and to value yourself. The world is actually set up in such an unhealthy way, and so is society, that is actually going to push and make a hurdle for you to do the things that are healthy for you. Because society, the way it's set up, is that there's a lot of people pleasers, there's a lot of robots, there's a lot of followers, there's a lot of dysfunction, right? It's not family oriented a majority of the time. It's really set up for unhealth. And so to do the things, right, that are really important to you, it's going to take probably a lot of work, and especially to get things off the ground and to get into that momentum of like me taking an entire summer to focus on me and my family. It took a lot of planning, and it took a lot of budgeting, and it took a lot more effort than it would have if I would have just been like, oh, well, I have everything set to live this way predominantly throughout the year, so I'm just going to stay where I'm comfortable, right? Like, it was uncomfortable to get to that place, but boy, was it worth it. Right? Because I invested in myself. I invested in what was important to me. The next one is surround yourself with respectful people. So the company that you keep are essentially like your mirrors, okay, of how you see yourself. And if you have people in your life that treat you like crap, I want you to take that seriously. And I want you, and if you have like toxic relationships and relationships in turmoil, right? That yo-yo all the time. I want you to take a minute to think about that. And I want you to think about what that says about how you feel and what you're willing to do for you. Because like I said, the world is set up to make it so that you don't do the healthy things, so that you don't care for yourself in important ways. It's set up so that you don't do those things. Because when you do that, and when you become the fullest version of you, think about it. If the world was doing that, where every single person on this planet was the fullest, most beautiful, most healthy version of them, there'd be a small percentage of people that wouldn't benefit from the masses, right, doing everything for them. And so those people with a lot of money and a lot of power, they have really set some really important things into society for themselves, not for the majority, but they have set it up so that there's a lot of following. People think doing things without thinking about it, right? This is just the way that the world is. So we're going to follow like a little calf, right? And there'd be so many people inventing things and exploring things that a small percentage of people that are currently in power would not want, right? So you got to think about that. It's not set up for you to be healthy. It's not set up for you to follow your heart, to follow what's in your the deepest parts of yourself, that it's going to be challenging to go in the direction of health. And so the company that you keep is your mirrors, right? Choose relationships where you feel heard, where you feel safe, where you feel uplifted. I remember when I was unhealthy, I had every single relationship before my two birth children came along, every single relationship in my life, and I'm not kidding you when I say every single relationship in my life, every single relationship in my life was dysfunctional. I never felt heard, but half of that battle was me had been beaten down from my childhood that I didn't feel like anybody wanted to hear me, right? That wasn't possible, that valuing myself in that way wasn't something that was going to be received kindly because it hadn't been for 36 years of my life until I got the wake-up call that I was going to get it out of those cars that I was in with those people. And I was going to go in a new path. And whether it meant getting in my own car and driving solo or finding other people along the way that wanted to ride with me, right? And now it's like night and day from that life that I lived where, like I said, I was around people that would talk behind my back, that were waiting for me to mess up, right? That were making fun of me behind my back because they were jealous, right? But it doesn't matter why they were doing it. It was all, they were not valuing me, right? Because when you value and you really truly love someone, you want to protect it. You want to uplift it. You want to revel in it, right? And that's not the type of relationships I had when I was unhealthy, okay? And when I wasn't loving myself. And now that I love myself and I really truly know the value of who I am deep inside, the relationships, I don't have tons of them, but I have, like the ones that I have are so potent with love and respect and honor that I wouldn't want any relationships besides those kind, right? And you have to think about it like this. Relationships are demanding. The relationships, the ones that are really worthwhile, right? They take time and focus and energy, right? And so all the people that are like, oh, you need like a billion, you know, friends, right? Like, I mean, to each their own, but it's like, that takes a lot of your time and your energy. And now that I like am in a healthy place, I can say like, I'm glad that I just have a few really, really close people that are like so full of love and light in both directions, like in the relationship, right? Like where we just love on each other. We uplift each other. We're there when the other person's having a hard time. And it's because we both value each other. We value the relationship. And we value ourselves. We're only able to value the other person because we value ourselves. And I was just talking to my best friend the other day about how, like, me and her brought it up about how, like, I was like, you're my best friend of my dreams, right? Like, I've been dreaming of you my entire life. Like, I just feel like I always wanted a girlfriend like you, where, like, I could tell her anything. Like, literally, there's never a TMI moment for us. But we can laugh and cry and we're there to pick each other up. And she's been there through some of the really hard things in my life. And I've helped her through some of her daunting moments too. And it's like, she said, it's like, it's not an unbalanced relationship. We're both just loving each other equally in equal amounts. It's really beautiful to find that. And so, and I think it's because we both value, like we've had hard friendships and hard relationships and in the past where people didn't value us. And so now when I saw her coming and when she saw me coming, we could really value each other because we valued ourselves, right? And that's what's really important. Value plays a big role. So kind of circling back to the mirror part of your relationships, because I think it's really important to like highlight and to note that if you have relationships in your life that are full of turmoil or roller coasters or up and down, you have to remember that at some point you are either a driver or a passenger in that car. And as sad it is, to have to get out of cars and leave relationships behind. And that's not always the answer, right? But it is to respect yourself and to love yourself. Sometimes that is really an important thing to do, because you got to take care of you and you've got to value yourself. And if the people around you don't value you, then you have to look inward and say, how am I not valuing myself? How are my habits in these connections, right? What am I doing? Is it my boundaries? Obviously, that's usually the ticket, right? My boundaries, like, do I not uphold my boundaries that I say that I want in my mind? Like, I want someone to be, you know, honest with me. But when they're dishonest, how am I treating them in the relationship? Am I allowing them to lie to me and not be accountable for it? Because that's the thing, is a lot of the times we don't make people accountable in our relationships because we want them to be healthy when they're not. So we have this like push for something that's not really occurring in the first place, right? And we want them to treat us a certain way that they're not doing, and we don't hold them accountable because we know the answer deep inside that they're not going to. They're going to say, well, then I'm getting out of this car and I'm leaving. And we don't want to do that. And I know that I did that for many, many years. I did that with my stepchildren, and I did that with my ex-husband. And any time that I would hold them accountable for anything, I was abused mentally and emotionally, right? And same thing with my birth family. And so I got to a place in my 20s and in my 30s where I stopped holding people accountable, right? I stopped doing it because I knew that they were just going to, how they were going to react, that they were not going to be honest with me when I confronted them about lying, stealing, cheating, whatever it was, right? And so that wasn't respecting myself. That wasn't honoring myself. That wasn't valuing myself. And that wasn't valuing the relationship. So when you don't value yourself, you're not valuing the relationship either. And this is the thing, is that people can be who they want to be. And if they want to be a liar, they want to be, that's okay. But you still have to give everybody the opportunity in that car that you're riding in them with, or driving it with. You have to give them the opportunity to be healthy with you, right? And if they can't, then you got to figure out, do you want to be in an unhealthy relationship where you're not valuing yourself and you're just constantly disrespecting yourself in the honor of them, because you want something from them that they are unwilling to give you? And that's really, really, really a tough cookie to swallow. And I know that a lot of unhealthy people don't want to hear that when I talk to them and I coach them on valuing themselves, right? They clam up and they shut themselves down because they know, right, that to value themselves is sometimes having to walk away from other people, from relationships in their lives, or holding people accountable. And that can get real messy real quick. Because once I started doing that in my abusive marriage, and I started the person was like, I spent almost 20 years where you just let me, you didn't value yourself and you just let me push you around. Now, you know, you're not accepting this, and that pisses me off. Like, anger comes out of people and, you know, unhealthy things. But you have to know that someone who really loves you is going to value you to the amount that you are valuable, right? It's like the first step is our belief, right? And about our inherent worth, right? And our value. And so I really, when I think about valuing myself, I think about it being in like two components, two pieces to the recipe. The first part is your comprehension, like your understanding of your worth. So your beliefs centered around who you are and your worth. And that's going to dictate the value that you place upon yourself. Okay. And then the second piece to valuing yourself, which I feel like is even bigger, right? It's even more huge than the first piece, because your beliefs, that's important. And we have to have that step one. But if you don't have the second piece, which is your habits, your actions, and essentially how you treat yourself or allow others to treat you, right? If you don't have that in check, in your valuing yourself, is you're not valuing yourself. You can think all day long wonderful thoughts about yourself, but if you don't act those thoughts out about yourself, then it's not really in existence, if that makes sense. It's in your mind, but it's not out here. So when you first start doing this work, like when I first started doing this work of loving myself, right? Which includes valuing yourself, the way you treat yourself doesn't always match up and align with your beliefs. Like I remember, like I started to learn about like loving myself, and I started to like create new beliefs and new pathways in my brain about like, this is what I do believe. I do think I'm beautiful. I do love who I am. I love what I've created. Like, you know, like all these things, I had these new beliefs set into my brain. But then it was like my actions were still tied to the past. They're like my habits, right? Because it takes a long time to kind of work the kinks out of your habits, because it's kind of like the like in the forest where if you walk on a path over and over again, it parts everything and you can clearly see where to go, and you don't even have to think, you just walk on the path. But if in the forest there's no path created yet, or you haven't walked it very many times, you're gonna have to really think. It's gonna take a lot of energy and a lot of focus to do those habits in a new way, right? And I feel like that was something that I had to be really patient with myself on when I learned how to value myself, right? And so if you're listening to this episode and you're like, oh yeah, like I believe in all those like setting healthy boundaries and investing in myself and like putting myself first and all these things, but then when it comes to like push and shove and like in the moment of life and like circumstances in life happen, where are you placing your movements? How are you moving through life? And that is like, it's 50% of this work, I feel like, in valuing yourself, but it almost feels like 80. And for me, it took a couple of years to really get my habits to kind of more align with my life of my beliefs, right? Like, so my life, I was walking down those paths, right? Those habits I had and the way I would allow people to talk to me or treat me. It took a while to like get my footing into the new way. I'll give you guys a little example in my personal life. I had come from a lifetime of mental and emotional abuse and a lot of gaslighting. And so when at any time like uncomfortable things would happen in my life or people were really crappy or whatever, I remember when people would make things uncomfortable, I would work really hard and I was really good at people pleasing and just making uncomfortable situations more comfortable for everyone. Like I enabled the abuse essentially, because I was like that shiny, bubbly, happy personality that would like smile and make everybody feel good even when they were treating me like shit. When I went through my cancer treatments, I had this company that sent out this caseworker to, you know, they were going to do a donation to me to help me with, you know, money during my, for my financial situation while me and my kids were going through this diagnosis. And this woman comes into my home, this caseworker, and she starts being really dysfunctional and abusive. And it was really unhealthy. And I remember I was kind of like frozen, like a deer in the headlights. Cause like I said, I had gotten out of all those cars and gotten out of all those toxic relationships, but that doesn't stop toxic people from finding you, right? Like in life. And so she starts like, oh, she came in my house, opened my fridge, looks in my fridge and like makes comments about it being really clean, but like that, you know, like she has to check and like not asking me first, and then walks into my bedrooms like while I'm signing paperwork and without my permission, and starts going through my bedroom being like talking to my kids inappropriately, being like, you sleep with your mom, you don't even probably sleep by yourself, do you? And then telling me that my dog is really ugly and taking pictures of me and my children without my permission, like not even saying, hey, do you mind if I take a photo? She just literally would like snapped photos of us while I was doing stuff and then said that she was going to use them. And I'm like, it was just very abusive and unhealthy, right? And unprofessional, obviously. And I remember in the moment, I couldn't say anything or do anything, because I had, like I said, it took me a couple of years to get to the place where I can say things in the moment now when people are being that dysfunctional and that unhealthy. But I had to wait till she was gone and I like had a good cry and I dysregulated myself. And then like, I really like was methodical and thought, I organized my thoughts logically and was like, okay, why do I feel bad about that? It's 'cause she was unhealthy. It's 'cause she did these things. Like, and I had to like make a list, you know, and be like, this was dysfunctional. Like, this is not how that's supposed to happen. That's not how the world is supposed to work, right? Like, that's not safe. That's not kind. And then I had to like rebuke and like go back to the company and honor myself and say, like, I don't want to participate in funding from you guys because of this dysfunction, right? Of how you treated your person, you know, that you have hired has treated me, and it's unhealthy and it's dysfunctional. And so valuing yourself and like honoring yourself in that. And like I said, it took me a while. Then now I've come to a place where like I can like recognize things in the moment, and I don't have to get so freaked out and stressed about them. And I can say in the moment, like, not okay. Like, I don't want to, and I'm not going to participate in that, or this needs to happen. Right. Because I value myself. Right. And like I said, it's taken me a long time, years, to untrain myself, to stop devaluing myself in unhealthy connections with people. And like I said, you're going to come across people in your life that are going to just be in the world that you can't, they're not even going to be intimate relationships, that you're just going to come across in the world, and you're going to have to deal with their dysfunction. So be kind with yourself and know that there's always recourse. You can always go back, right? You can always, like I did, like I took those steps afterwards, and I just said, this isn't right for me because it was disrespectful, and I don't want people like her in my home ever again. So I'm going to reject your support. Value yourself and honor yourself in ways that are, and prioritize yourself that are, and allow yourself the grace to stumble on it and to let it take some time. And now I'm at the place, and like, that was like the first layer of the onion. And then it would be like, okay, now, you know, then I would recognize it in the moment, but I wouldn't be able to say anything. But now I'm like getting to the place where I can say things in the moment for that. So just know that it will come with time. You just have to practice the behavior of valuing yourself and saying, this doesn't feel right to me. This, I'm going to put up a boundary here. I'm not going to do this because I don't want to, right? Or it disturbs my peace. I already know that that will stress me out. So I'm not going to make plans to do that with you, right? Okay, well, now that we've kind of gone over all of the information for valuing yourself, I want to leave you guys with a valuing yourself activity. And so this is, can be really, really powerful. If you sit down, you make a list of, you can put a number on it, but I say make it endless because you can always go back to it, but do a minimum of 10 things that you love about who you are. Okay. And remember, we're not adding achievements to this list, but instead aspects of who you are. So we're not adding that, you know, you graduated from college with a 4.0, right? Like, we're not, like, those are great and you've done those things, but what about that? Like, how, what about who you are inside made you get there, right? Like, that you have a strong will and a passion for maybe like whatever it is your degree is in, right? So when you're really proud of something that you have created, just think about the parts that of you that you leaned on to create that in your reality, and list those things. Those, that's how you can make this list, because it's easy to do your achievements, be like, oh, I'm a mother of 5 kids. Well, that's great, but it's awesome, right? But that's not who you are, right? That's an aspect of this world and, you know, what you're doing in this world, but it's not who you are. Write that list and really spend time focusing on why you value yourself. And the more that you put the energy there, the more you can do that in your habits as well. And observing, right? Like, after you have a negative experience, observe yourself. Think about it. Spend time with that event. Think about, like, okay, what, analyze it. Be like, why do I feel crappy after this happened? And then go through the things that you wish, you know, like, I didn't stand up for myself. I wish I would have had this boundary, right? How can I do it better, differently next time? Because when you do that in your mind, it really, truly repaths the way for next time for you to do it closer and closer, closer in real time. All right. Well, I hope you guys are having a wonderful day, and I hope this information about valuing yourself was helpful. I know that For me, this has been one of the biggest things in my life is recognizing where I'm valuing myself and where I'm not has been super powerful in loving myself. And so I'm so glad that I was able to bring this information to you today. All right, hope you're having a wonderful day and don't forget, love yourself. Bye.